Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you. It is Wednesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone producing. And he will chime in. We will get the pulse of the student body on Nebraska football 2017. Colton will represent the masses in that southeast corner of the end zone. We think anyway. Hope you do it all right. A busy show. We'll talk some Nebraska football. We will talk some recruiting. Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity is coming up in 15 minutes. Historian, author, Hall of Famer Mike Babcock, working on 39 years and counting of Nebraska coverage. A Wilderness Ridge golf segment. PGA gets rocking tomorrow. Mike Shewhart, Shuey, will be in studio. And in hour two, we will run down the newest commit or recommit to Nebraska football. Wideout from St. Louis, Cam Brown, will be with us at 5 to start off hour two. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity will make an in-studio appearance as he'll hang out and we'll talk Nebraska with Cam Brown. Numbers to get in today, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House. Also for you, a chance to get a six-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Great, great content on the website. Great recruiting news and a lot of basketball news. Jacob Padilla's been just smoking it with basketball coverage. And we will dive into Brandon Vogel's story, Scheme versus Skill, in a little bit. Also, a good story out of the Kansas City Star on Alex Gordon, how he's handling being benched as Kansas City's trying to stay involved and in the thick of a playoff race and maybe a wild card spot for them. Can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, and can email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. That's the lowdown on how to get in touch with us. Some thoughts from Bobby Diaco, also Peyton Newell, and a word from John Perella in a little bit. But Colton, first of all, welcome to Hail Varsity, sir. You interned 2 years ago. You and Danny are tremendous, excited to have you in. And you're you don't have the face paint on today, but it's not that you won't be wearing any in about 20-some days on a Saturday night. You're a diehard Omaha guy that loves him some Nebraska football.
Yeah, no, I've loved Husker football since
you could walk.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's my dad went to the 98 Orange Bowl. I was a year old. We have a picture frame. We have
some of us had a beer at the 98 Orange Bowl, and I was 21
right.
years old.
And so we have a picture frame from that game that he took. He has his original ticket. We have every ticket of any football game we've gone to, you know, baseball games in Omaha, mm-hmm. March, Matt, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, diehard, anything that happens in Omaha, anything that happens in Lincoln, you know, I try to get there I put on the red and I support. So,
well, tell me about your peers, you and 25,000 of your closest buddies. How's the students feel about the season?
You know, when
you've heard enough of us, you know, talk or type or do videos about this thing here coming up, the build up to the season. You guys feeling good? You feeling bad? You feeling ugly?
You know, going into the spring game, I helped do a broadcast for that, and a lot of us, at least within the broadcast section, is, you know, we kind of geek out about, you know, recruits and, you know, stuff kind of like that. But no, all of us were really excited. We're thinking, you know, Diaco's defense is really going to make a difference this year and hopefully, you know, light a fire under these guys. And Tanner Lee, obviously, at the helm, looked really good in practices, looked good in the spring game. And I think that offense, the way it's trending, has been great. And I think that's a lot of what I've heard from people I know. However, you know, when you're sitting in that corner, you know, you stand for 4 hours. You know, if you don't walk away with a win, everyone's down.
It's a physical investment.
It's physical.
Similar to that of the emotional investment that Josh Rosen's been going through the last 3 years, right?
Right. And you know, it's your one day off, basically, a week, because everyone pushes their homework to Sunday anyways. So no one can tell me different. But, you know, it's your one day off. So if you spend your half your day at the stadium and if you don't come out with a win, you know, you burned 4.5 hours and probably wasted some money, too.
It hurts, is what you're saying. Well, Colton, good perspective. We'll see how it shakes out. And let's spend a minute here as to how things can be better for Nebraska. Scheme versus skill. Again, a must-read by Brandon Vogel. And the big play topic is alive and well. You heard Diaco talk about it. It's what he preaches. It's his specialty, preventing that big play. And I want to go zoom out real quick with Nebraska football and ask this question here. What if Nebraska football actually gets a break? And by break, I mean you've had Murphy's Law occur with this program the last 3 years, and serious issues with a coach, a native son passing away, and then the football gods gave BYU the Hail Mary out of the gate day one. Has Nebraska football had any breaks? And I get you make your own breaks, you do, but what's gone right? They've ramped up recruiting. They've been relentless with that. They are very true to what they believe in offensively, and that is to throw the football and understand that you need to run the football. And then it comes back to big plays. On defense, they want to create turnovers and stop 20-yard gains. It seems simple enough. But I have a real question. What happens if this team gets a break this season? You're supposed to win in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, Saturday night. But then you go to Oregon. What happens if you get a road win that early in the year? With this offense, with this quarterback, with this system against your nemesis. 2 years in a row, you get your nemesis. I mean, it sets you up. And looking at the Hail Varsity message boards, there's a lot of us that chat on there, a lot of staff members, too, that interact with Nebraska fans. And, you know, we're going to talk to Mike Babcock here coming up. Sustained momentum was something he circled. And if Nebraska can get a break / make their own breaks early in this 2017 season, why can't it be them to have a Penn State-type season? Maybe I'm jumping into the deep end of the pool by talking about winning the Big Ten. I know there are some massive changes and differences that are going on with this team defensively. And I know you got a new quarterback. But Penn State was supposed to be a mess last year with year three. And all it took was something to break right in the form of special teams, and then they got hot. They were a mess at 2-2 at one point in the year. And from a talent standpoint, yeah, Penn State's got some sick talent. They've got some incredible playmakers, but I don't think Nebraska's talent deficient. Do they have as much talent as Penn State? I don't know. But they have some top-tier guys, Nebraska does, that are pretty good, and you're armed with a quarterback that can really help this football team out when you look at his skill set and what the offense wants to do. And if the offensive line can take care of him, the offense can kind of carry the water until the defense comes to form. And based on what I'm reading and what I'm hearing at practice, and we'll watch it tomorrow, defense is picking things up ahead of schedule. So maybe it's not going to be as rocky defensively out of the gate. There are some positions to watch, which we'll dive into here shortly as the weeks continue on with practice in Nebraska football and where they're at with four or five spots on the field that are going to be key. But think about it. If Nebraska can get a break, make their own break, get a win early against Oregon, you have some home games, you're focused, you stay unbeaten till Wisconsin gets here, and you get that one, I mean, you're 2-for-2 confidence-wise. And you go back to last year, and I know the team started out 7-0, and I know the team had a close win against Indiana. I know the team survived against Oregon. If we're going to be real honest, I mean, you beat a so-so to bad Oregon team. They had some skill and some talent, but it was a really awful Oregon team. Indiana was good, but clearly not good enough to beat you. And then the Wisconsin game, think about how those dynamics change with Nebraska in that ball game and how they were able to kind of pick themselves off the mat, create some momentum plays. But when push came to shove, how much trust was there to go for the win versus to play it safe and try not to screw it up? Instead of playing for the win, you played for overtime. At least that's how it looked to me. They were afraid to make a mistake. And I don't know, with the quarterback they have this year, and if he gains, I mean, they trust his arm and his talent and his ability to read defenses. I don't know that they're going to be ultra cautious with him. They'll put it in his hands. He's a guy that can go win a lot of games for you, but you don't have to worry about losing it for you. At least that's the vibe and kind of mojo you hear his peers say about him. They feel good about him. He still has to go do it. This is all lofty praise without any proof. But based on what he can do, I mean, it wouldn't be that odd to have Nebraska in a situation against Wisconsin a third straight year where they have a chance to win it. They have a chance to win it in the end. Didn't happen in overtime. Didn't happen at the buzzer. When Gaglione drilled one, he got the old mulligan off the tee box. So we'll see. Think where this team could go, though, because I think that's all they need. They need some big wins to happen. And they've had some okay wins. I mean, they beat Michigan State already in the Riley era. They have been right there with Wisconsin. You've beaten Oregon. And at the time, a year ago, it seemed like a big win. But really, if they can get off to a good start, they catch some breaks, they keep that record perfect going into Wisconsin, you get the win against Wisconsin, you kind of slay that dragon, and then you play well against Ohio State, who knows? Urban doesn't really screw up usually. That's his specialty, is night road wins to crush your soul, except at Penn State. So it's possible, and I can kind of let my imagination run wild with the reasons. Okay, I can talk myself into why it could happen for Nebraska. You got to sustain that momentum. And there were a lot of instances where Nebraska got in their own way. They got beat by some really good football teams last year, but Nebraska did some self-harm as well in big games. And that's something you just don't know about. You have a different cast of characters. We talked leadership a lot this week so far. The cast of characters you have maybe have a different outlook and attitude on things, and maybe are ready to kind of go prove it. That's what this team wants to do. They want to be better than 9-4 or 8-4. They're using it as motivation that some of the smartest analytical people in college football say 6-6 is it, babe. So you put it all together. Think if they get a break. Think if they get a bounce. Think of it as the anti-2015. from a hard luck, close loss, tough break situation. Can Nebraska put it together and be a threat this year? The answer is yes, but they need to have some breaks, and they need to kind of prove to themselves. They need to kind of come into their own, and to do that, they need to have a signature victory, and they'll have three opportunities, easily have three opportunities the first half of 2017, and we'll see where Nebraska shakes out. We'll talk to Mike Babcock coming up shortly of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Get his thoughts on where Nebraska is, his thoughts on how camp is going, and also talk to him a little bit about the NET Tom Osborne documentary that was on, I think, earlier this week, and I know it aired originally Sunday, which is good. Loved watching that, so we'll talk to Babbers about that. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment coming up. Mike Shewhart in studio. Our chat with Cam Brown less than an hour away. Greg Smith will be in to help me out with that. Great to be with you on a Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A quick timeout, Hall of Famer Mike Babcock, Grateful Dead fan Mike Babcock on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska wide receiver commit Cam Brown coming up at 5:06. Welcome in historian, author, Hall of Famer, 39 years of Nebraska excellence, Mike Babcock with us at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Smitty. I'm doing great.
That's awesome. It's a good time of year. Football is here. There's a lot of talking points we get into before we actually get kickoff. And I wanted to start there, Mike, with something that we were kind of chatting about message board-wise and a point you brought up, sustained momentum. And that's how we started the show off, kind of asking out loud what would it be like if Nebraska caught a break, actually, and had some things kind of go their way? They've had some things positive happen, but overall it's been kind of just fighting uphill for the first 2 years as Riley goes into his third year. Is that something that you can see happening for Nebraska, Babbers, that maybe Nebraska has a little bit of good luck this year to start the year?
Well, yeah, you never know. I mean, you know, what's the cliche? Better to be good than lucky. But, Nebraska needs some breaks. And there's been some discussion on our message board, as I'm sure there's been discussions over water coolers and so forth. I really think the Oregon game is going to be, kind of fit into what you're talking about in terms of momentum. And I think we'll find out some things about Nebraska. That's the difficult part of fall camp, you know, that there's so much speculation and teams are, have lost any games, it's kind of, you're unbounded by anything. I mean, you're as good as your imagination can make things. And so I think people look for reasons, sure, to be optimistic, which is what they should do. Uh-huh. And so I think probably more optimism than not, is the thing, but again, you just don't know. I mean, I would not have guessed that Coach Riley's first season here would have started out quite the way it did, mm-hmm, and through most of that game, most people wouldn't have thought that. So, I think there's reason for optimism, but again, we won't know until we get into the season and we see exactly what Nebraska has and how this transition to a new defense and essentially new offense that has taken place.
You led right in, and what's been your feel and feedback on the transition to the defense? And I know there's some spots that they're still working on, they're probably worried about because they're coaches, they worry. But overall, how do you feel when you've had a chance to hear from some of the players and coaches? And we'll have more of an opportunity tomorrow, obviously, on the offensive side. But how do you think the install and transition's going?
Well, you know, I think it's funny, really, because before the spring game, Bob Diaco said fans coming to the spring game are going to be disappointed if they think they're going to see anything from our defense because they didn't show anything on defense. The other day, actually, if you ask defensive players about it, you get the same thing. You know, I think Freedom Akamaladun was asked that question after practice the other day, and it was like, what are you guys going to do? Well, that's a secret. And somebody said, well, what is the secret? And he goes, that's the secret. You know, you'll find out when we start playing. And I don't think that they'll hold anything back defensively against Arkansas State. You know, they'll try to win. But we'll see probably more of what Nebraska will do against Oregon. And it sounds like it's a pretty our expectation is it's a pretty versatile defense. And, you know, that's the sense that you get. Some players that do talk a little bit about it, occasionally you ask an offensive lineman a question about it, and they say, yeah, what the defense is doing can be really confusing because they're moving around, they've got situations where they stand up and so forth. But I don't have a good understanding of what it's going to look like because of that. You know, now when we go to practice and we have access to practice, you know, they've taken to practicing on the field that's far away. And so all the guys that aren't in the drill are kind of standing along the sideline. And so you can't really see anything when they do that. And then, of course, the scrimmages are closed. So I just don't know what to expect. I don't know how smoothly this transition has gone for guys that haven't played in a system like that.
Well, we can just go. I'll bring a lawn chair. You bring a lawn chair, and I'll get some lemonade, and we'll just be on that top floor of the old parking garage. How's that?
Yeah, that's about the best. Get some binoculars, and that's about the best way to go about it.
The old Hail Varsity drone over the top. Okay.
Yeah. That's Coach Diaco is very very secretive about what it is he wants to do. And again, you've got guys that are transitioning from a different kind of a defense to this. So there are a lot of variables involved in that. But it sounds like it's a pretty imaginative approach just from what little we've gotten from some of the offensive linemen that have had to try to block it.
He's, you know, and Coach Diaco's loosening up. I mean, he's ditched the sweatpants. You know, he's wearing shorts. He's got the... He's got the hat, and then the other day, I mean, he had the hair going. So, you know what? He's relaxing a little more. At least, I'm kidding. I don't know. He is. There's a code of silence on what this secret of defense will be, and we'll know against Arkansas State and beyond. Mike Babcock is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Babbers, Tom Osbert, NET. Did another wonderful documentary Kevin Kugler hosted and did the interview there. And I had a chance to watch it, and I always enjoy it. And I wanted your thoughts on what you saw and a couple of things that stuck out to you.
Well, you know, the one thing is just sort of a practical thing, and I appreciate this about Kevin Kugler. As you said, Kevin Kugler did the interview. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about the guy doing the interview. It was about the person being interviewed. And I think in this day and age, so often you see interviews on television, ESPN, that sort of thing, where I get the sense sometimes that it's almost about the person doing the interview rather than the interview itself, you know? So I was really impressed with how that was handled. Obviously, Kevin's preparation was outstanding, but I thought it was very comprehensive, I guess would be the word. You know, that Coach Osborne talked about his father growing up and you know, his experiences playing professionally, a little bit of professional football. You know, he was I think he was the Redskins' second leading receiver in 1961, I think, my recollection was that Thomas told me that one of the reasons he stepped aside from playing professionally. He was really, I think, committed at one point to being a college professor as well. And he was kind of torn between that. I think you get a little bit of a sense of that in the show. But I think one of the reasons he left the Redskins was to pursue that, and also because whoever the Redskins owner was at that time, I don't know if that precedes Preston Marshall, but was that the owner was not inclined to pay players for exhibition games. There was some principle involved in that as well. And I think at that time, professional football probably didn't offer as great of an opportunity, obviously didn't, not what it is now. And I think that he thought his career path was the direction that he went, either as an educator or as a coach or as both. And so I thought that was interesting. And then I thought the Lawrence Phillips discussion I thought was interesting. I'm probably in a minority on this among some reporters around here. I always supported his decision because I think he made it for the reasons that he said in the documentary. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought it was good that, nothing was avoided during the interview. So I just thought it was just a well-done interview on both sides.
Mike, I want to wrap with this. About 2 minutes, you had a story that was with HailVarsity.com and Ralph Russo and Sports Analytics and the Go for Two in the Orange Bowl and the kind of Monday morning quarterbacking of that decision, not to go for two, but when to go for two. And the long and short of it is Nebraska would have had a 5% better chance to win had the game played out. Again, hypothetical. If Nebraska goes for two after that Jeff Smith score with 7 minutes left, I'm going to take you back here again about 2 minutes here. Did you think Nebraska should have gone for two sooner, or did you like how things played out?
Well, I respectfully disagree with that. The conclusions of that study.
Okay, I was wondering.
I think the Huskers did it the right way, now analytics is a total different thing now than it was then. Mm-hmm. But Osborne knew the percentages. I mean, he talked about the percentages on several occasions about going for two, going for or taking the point. I think that as I look back at it, if he'd gone for two the first time and didn't make it, then you got to go for two the second time to get the tie. Mm-hmm. I think that by tying the game at that point, when we're talking about momentum earlier on, I think that that gave Nebraska some momentum to go down and score again.
Right.
But you had to score the touchdown, too. And then put yourself in a position to do what he said during a news conference like a day or two before that game that he probably would do if it came down to plan for a tie or plan for a win.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, about 20 seconds, a little less than. What's coming up on Hail Varsity for you?
Well, I was just working on a Throwback Thursdays thing for the website.
Awesome.
So I had an idea of what I was going to do, and then I started doing it, and I realized that, hey, I think I've done this a couple of years ago. So had to call an audible is what I like to say.
There we go. I like the audible. Babbers, you're awesome. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the insight today.
Hey, good talking to you, Smitty.
There he is. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer, and with HailVarsity.com and magazine. There he goes. I like Babbers audibles. They're pretty good. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge golf segment. Coming up on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Yes, I do, Kramer. Welcome to it. It's the Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Husker recruit Cam Brown 25 minutes away. Mike Shewhart is in studio. Shuey is back with us. Can log on wildernessridgegolf.com. Get that tee time. I know the kids get back in school. Dads, moms, you can smile once you drop them off. Go play 9.
Yeah.
Go play 18. 402-434-5106. Mike Shewhart, Director of Instruction. Also Husker Golf, of course, Director of Golf. Chris Thompson, awesome dude as well. Go see your friends at Wilderness Ridge. And who's not talking about the solar eclipse?
Man, it's right around the corner.
Everybody is. Everybody's talking about the solar eclipse. And you can go hang out and see that at Wilderness Ridge. What's going on here? Well, live music. And that's going to be the 21st. So put the calendars down, first and foremost. Wilderness has those signature cocktails, great menu items. And here's the rundown here for Wilderness Ridge on August 21st. 11:37, the eclipse begins. 1:02, total eclipse begins. At 1:04, it ends. And then at 2:29, the eclipse ends. But make your reservations. Have a little party at Wilderness with your friends out at Wilderness and go spend the solar eclipse celebration out at Wilderness Ridge. On that deck, why not?
Why not,
Or just do it on number 9 and try and make that putt during the eclipse.
Exactly. Maybe that's the trick, man. You might have some good things happen,
might
man.
Help me.
Solar eclipse, that's right.
I think so. So that's something to think about with Wilderness Ridge, Wilderness Ridge Golf. .com. Shuey, what's new, man? Tell me first and foremost how you've been and how them Divot Dogs are doing.
I've been doing great. We had a great week. We had the playoffs, so we played at Holmes, 16 teams. We played 9 holes in the morning. They cut the field to the low 4 teams. We were one of those 4 teams.
All right. Congrats.
Yeah, then we played, those 4 teams played in the afternoon. 2 of the teams advanced to the final 4, and it was a little tense.
The drama
was
thick.
Was very thick. So came down to the last hole. Depending on what happened on the last hole, who was going to be in, who was going to be out. And it just so happened that we ended up getting one of the 2 spots. So
all right.
We're in the final. We're in the final 4. So they're excited. They're super excited. So we play that Friday at the Lincoln Country Club.
All right, man.
So 4 teams, final 4, playing for the belt.
I love it. And your Divot Dogs, your youth golf program. And that's something that Shuey and the gang at Wilderness Ridge offer. If you got a son or daughter that you want swinging the clubs, do it for life. Go send him to your way.
And, you bet.
And just spend a minute here before we get into PGA Championship about some of the getting the kids early. Obviously, you're a college golf coach, but you work with the young pups too, and you get a chance to mold them, man.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, the kids are very energetic, first of all, so they kind of keep me energized. I have a hard time keeping up with them, actually. But so, and just teaching them all about golf, you know, and you get them started in the right way, and it's really fun. You know, I had a young man I actually gave a lesson to yesterday that was a Divot Dog, a former.
And he's back.
And he grew out of it, so he aged out. But I was in there working with him, and I use video a lot in my lessons. So I had an old video of him when I first started working with him about 3 years ago. And it was just hilarious putting it up side by side with what he is now. And it's like, he's like a totally different person, man. He's twice the size and this and that. So it's fun when you start learning good fundamentals when they're kids and they keep those fundamentals. And as they keep maturing and growing in to what it is those good fundamentals allow them to do, you start to see really good strides, mm-hmm. You know, so just like him, I mean, he was not a very big kid when we started. Now he's got some muscle on him. He's grown up a little bit and he hits it 50 yards farther and game gets a lot more fun.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is having fun with golf. We'll get into the Schmidt weekend of golf here in a little bit. Let's talk PGA Tour. Jason Day, man, he wants to get back there. And a lot of us remember 2015 and Vegas right now split on McIlroy and Spieth when it comes to the favorite at the PGA Championship. What are you feeling? What are you thinking heading into this final major here? What are some of the hunches you have?
I like Rory a lot. You know, he hasn't won yet this year, which is not like him, so he's pretty hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been trending You know, he didn't start very good at the British, but man, he finished really strong at the British. So his game's kind of rounding into shape. The golf course sets up really well for him. I mean, he's played there. Listening to the guys talk about the golf course, they've had some rain. It's playing long. The rough is up. So you're going to need to be able to generate some speed to be able to play that golf course and get around it, you know. So, and Rory can obviously do that. And he's been there before. He's won there. He likes the golf course. And, I mean, I like him a lot. Spieth, he's always going to be tough just because he's such a great wedge player and putter. Mm-hmm. And he wants to, you know, this is for the Triple Crown, you know. So it's like the Grand Slam. If he wins, he'll be the youngest player ever to complete the Grand Slam or win all four majors. Yeah. So he's got a lot of motivation behind him to play well.
How many guys like Rory, like Day, like Spieth, they're that next wave, that next generation, those guys are still in their mid to upper 20s, and they've been on tour for a while. I mean, they started when they were teens or in their lower 20s. What's the word on this generation of golfers? What's respected about them, and what is also appreciated about them?
Well, just their talent, you know, what they possess, their ability to do the things that they do.
Are these guys you look at and say, God-given ability, or you have a group of grinders as well? I mean, you got to grind to be good, but there's different levels of grinding.
Yeah, this is a grinder group, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really good. They're very talented in what they do. But, man, they grind really hard at getting where it is they want to be. And that's winning majors, you know, winning golf tournaments, but winning majors. Specifically, because that's what it's all about. So there's a really good group of guys that have come up in the last probably 3 to 5 years that are going to kind of take the tour over, and they're going to be the next generation of superstars that are out there, you know, with Jordan Spieth being one of them, Daniel Berger being another one. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of Brooks Koepka, a lot of guys like that, you know. They're just tremendous athletes, first of all. They work at it. They work at their skill. You know, and they work at themselves. I mean, they make themselves athletes. I mean, they work out. They're strong. They're fit. They're mentally strong. And they're extremely hungry and dedicated to what it is they want to do. So it's pretty fun to watch. I mean, golf is in a good place right now as far as the young superstars that are coming up.
Quail Hollow, tell me about that course.
It's kind of an old traditional course. The PGA in particular, you see them a lot play more old-style traditional golf courses, you know, a lot of grass, a lot of green, a lot of trees, a lot of movement through the trees. So, you know, I heard a little bit that they've had some rain there. And they expect some rain. So the golf course is going to play long because it's going to play wet. It's going to play long. So, I mean, a bomber is going to have a little bit of an advantage right there because you need to hit it a long ways.
Okay. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. And can log on today, wildernessridgegolf.com. Get that tee time, 402-434-5106. Membership benefits, membership pricing. And get your reservation for the Eclipse on the 21st. It's awesome. A little more with Shuey when we come back. Also on the way, don't forget Cam Brown, Husker recruit. Next hour.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Wilderness Ridge Golf segment winds forward. Chris Schmidt, Mike Shewhart. We have a Greg Smith sighting of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Shuey, okay, so we were during the break. I showed you a proud father taking footage of his son on the tee box on the Talon course. Junior was that we got to work on getting Junior a collared shirt.
Yeah, needs that out there.
Like we need that out there.
Yes, we
so,
do.
So Junior was golfing, and we got to go kind of do a little father son thing. And if you ask his opinion, there's a gentleman named Ben Bolte that considers himself the greatest golfer in the world. So that said, we went two dads, two sons. It was a lot of fun, and Junior got to tee off from time to time, and his nickname went from Junior to the Hammer on the green, because he thought it was croquet. But what'd you see? What'd you think there? I mean, give me a quick little reaction. Because I'm sending them your way.
Yeah, I thought he was trying to hit a home run every time. That's what it kind of looked like.
Here, let me tell you how this went. I show Shuey the footage. He's like, okay, good. My footwork was good, a little smooth. And then all of a sudden, you got that left knee that pops up and the follow through, and he's trying to, you know.
Then the hammer came out.
Then the third baseman, you know, is what he's thinking.
That's right.
Bubble thought, third baseman. Let's get it down the line. So we got to work on keeping his head down and then his arms straight.
And a little better footwork when it comes to hitting the hammer.
He's always got his
feet moving all over the place.
He does.
Yeah, man, you need your feet, man. That's the anchor down there.
It was pretty good. But back to what you've done and the Divot Dogs and chance for championship with your Divot Dogs. You probably see a lot of young golfers or more experienced golfers that pick up the game, they come in with footwork issues, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no question. You know, especially that because he's a multi-sport guy. So especially young kids that are multi-sports, that's one of the teachings you have to give them is you have to get them to understand when it's time to do their sport, there's certain things that they do in their sport. So it's like, and a lot of baseball coaches don't like their baseball players to play golf because of this. But it's really not that so much as it is going, hey, when it's time to play baseball, these are the things you do when it's time to play golf. Because there's a lot of crossovers that actually are beneficial, but there's also a lot of, you know, dissimilar things that we do. Mm-hmm. It's just getting them to understand that it's like, hey, man, your feet work like this, your elbow works like this, baseball it does this, golf it does this. So when they understand it, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And they're so good at being able to adapt to what you tell them. They're incredible. And they don't take them very much. It's like, just do this. And it's like, okay.
They'll forget it.
Yeah, it's like, all right,
forget
I'll do it.
The baseball side of things and do the golf instruction.
Because I do that a lot. Because there's a lot of kids in our junior program that do both. I mean, they play a lot of baseball. They're coming right from baseball to golf, and they're doing this. And it's like, as long as you just keep reminding them, kind of showing them and remind them a little bit of what they need to do, and they pick it up so fast, and then they get pretty good.
Well, I love it. Shuey, we'll see you soon. Hang out for a bit if you want.
I will.
Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Again, log on, get a reservation for the Eclipse at Wilderness Ridge. Why not be out on the deck or on the green? Makes sense to me. Cam Brown, tremendous wideout from St. Louis, part of the recruiting class of 2018. Will join us next year on Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Into hour two, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. Hello, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Shuey is hanging out. Colton, producing, engineering, and we are excited to spend a few minutes and talk with another commit to Nebraska's 2018 class wide receiver from Christian Brothers College High School in St. Louis, Cameron Brown, with us on the show. Cameron, thanks for taking a few minutes. How is your day going? How you doing, man?
My day is going pretty good.
Good to spend some time. So, Cameron, take us through the last few moments for you before you made that decision to come to Nebraska. What made it feel right about Nebraska?
This is a great place. You know, I love the coaches. I love the players.
Okay, we're having a little – I'm not messing with you, Cameron. We're having a cell phone issue. We're going to try and redial you. Can you hang on a sec for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a sec. So Colton's going to try and redial Cameron. I feel like this has happened before, Greg.
It's deja vu here.
It is. So we'll redial Cameron Brown again. So Cameron Brown in St. Louis, Christian Brothers College High School, will join us. Class of 2018, really talented player. Colton's getting him back on the line. And I'm anxious to hear Cameron's story about Nebraska and what he sees with this football program. So great to have you in on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, as we are awaiting Cameron Brown to join us and get caught up, see how things are going. Okay, we have Cameron Brown back. Cameron, is this better? How are you? Okay. Here's what I'm going to have happen here. Cameron, hang on the line for me. Colton, get a hold of Cameron. Talk to him off air for me if you could. See if there's an alternative number to check him at. We are just having no luck with Cameron Brown and the cell phone. This is...
We're going to be a little produce on the fly here.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
It happens.
It can. But, you know, Greg, you've been doing a lot of just fantastic work with HailVarsity.com recruiting. I want to spend a minute here and talk about the site, the coverage, the peeps on Hail Varsity with not only just recruiting but football coverage. And we're excited to have you on the team, obviously, and Derek Peterson, obviously, and Jacob Padilla. And I tell you what, Brandon Vogel, Mike Babcock, I mean, awesome group, Aaron Babcock, owner and publisher. But the recruiting focus for Hail Varsity, it's something that you love doing. Mm-hmm. You're getting to do with Hail Varsity and kind of your plan of attack, man. How do you go about this thing? Because it's been great.
You know, that's the interesting thing is that the plan of attack, when you're just jumping into a cycle, is kind of interesting mm-hmm. as well. It's something that I didn't necessarily think about jumping into it, but it's fine. Is that, you know, in the 18 class, with a lot of these kids, and especially the highly touted kids that Nebraska is going after, they've been going through this process for a couple of years now, right? So they've talked to all of the reporters
at all of the
major schools that they're looking at attending. So you're kind of forming those new relationships on the fly. So it's a lot of relationship building, trying to talk to the kids, their coaches, the different guys that do training or put together camps. It's just a lot of behind the scenes legwork on trying to build that network up of folks that you can count on for either interviews, information, mm-hmm. Or evaluation too. I think that's a large part of it that goes into it, is I don't just, you know, read other people's stuff and give and talk based off of what I see from them. I watch film on my own to figure out what's going on as well and talk to different scouts and bounce ideas off of them.
Well, no, and you're getting plugged in with the camp circuit. You're getting plugged in with not only the 500-mile radius that Nebraska has hit, and of course, Cameron Brown a part of that, but, I mean, look at the areas that Coach Williams has been able to hit. Mm-hmm. Texas, California, and now Missouri, St. Louis. And we're working on establishing a connection here with Cameron Brown, a standout wide receiver from St. Louis, from Christian Brothers College High School. We have Cameron Brown back with us. Cameron, we're going to give it another shot. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
This is phenomenal. You sound, my man, your voice sounds great. Okay. Hey, it's great to spend some time with you. Your time here as a prospect and kind of the buzz that's been created about your ability. I mean, a lot of schools wanted you. Why did Nebraska get you?
Nebraska got me because, you know, I love it there. My parents love it there. And I just love the players, the coaches, and the atmosphere is just amazing.
Yeah, what kind of stuck out to you first? And then what stuck out to your folks when you had a chance to check it out?
What stuck out to me the most is the coach. You know, he coaches up really good receivers. He coaches up players in the NFL that come back to him. And just my parents, they just love everything about the school.
And, you know, when you look at, you know, a lot of talk about Keith Williams, and I think rightfully so because of his reputation for being one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers coach in the country. But what about Coach Riley? Is he kind of it's weird to say this about a head coach, but the secret sauce to the recruitment, so to speak, and a guy that's able to connect with a lot of people. What are your thoughts on Mike Riley?
I love Mike Riley. You know, he's a great guy to get to know. You know, he's very friendly. You know, you get to know him, it's like family, you know, as soon as you meet him.
Cameron Brown is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Cameron, what excites you about Nebraska's offense and how do you see yourself fitting into it?
I mean, I believe I could play any position the coach put me at. But, you know, the offense there is changing, you know. it used to be a powerhouse run school, but they switching up the offense so they can compete more at a higher level than they compete in it now.
Take us through what advantages there are to a pro style passing game, not just for your position, but just when it comes to the landscape of college football. If a team's efficient throwing the football, how dangerous can they be?
They can be very dangerous because they're scared of the pass and they're also scared of the run, so they really don't know what to do.
Hey, and you know, Cam, you know, you're finishing up summer workouts and you guys just started practices this week or last week, right? So what have you been focused on over the summer and kind of improving your game and take it to the next level as you look towards your senior season?
I've really been just – it's not like the game. It's more of – I've been working on my leadership role at school because I'm a captain on the team. You know, I feel like it's my duty to make sure that everyone is – having everything going the right way, and everyone is just competing all together.
Is that difficult for you, or are you naturally vocal?
I mean, it's a little difficult for me because I don't like to talk that much when I'm on the football field, but I will have to get the job done to make sure my team can win.
Cameron Brown's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, wide receiver, part of the 18 class for Nebraska Christian Brothers College High School. Cameron, there was a time where you were committed to Nebraska, and then you needed to look around a little bit, and then obviously your video came out. What was it easy to talk to Nebraska about making sure that you were confident in where to go, i.e. when you took some other visits? Was Nebraska pretty understanding about that?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty understanding about it, but I just want to really just open up to see the full view of everything. You know, they didn't do anything wrong or anything. It was just me. I just want to see everything.
Hey, Cam, one of the things that kind of sticks out to a lot of Husker fans out there about this particular recruiting class so far is that it's small in numbers so far, but it seems like everybody's pretty tight-knit. So a two-part question for you. One, who are some of the guys in this class already that you're close with? And then two, peer recruiting has been big. Are there other guys out there still on the board that you're trying to help bring to Nebraska?
I'm pretty close to a lot of them. You know, I talked to almost all of them. We're in a group chat with them, talk to them every once in a while. But I'm still trying to work on a couple of players from St. Louis out here. Still trying to work on Cam Babb, you know, a couple other players, you know, just to throw one name out, just a couple other ones.
Cameron Brown is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Cameron, how does your game translate to Big Ten football?
I don't know. I feel like my game, I can compete anywhere, you know. It don't matter where I'm at, I feel like I just can compete with everybody at the high standard.
Cameron, what's Nebraska's brand like in St. Louis, in Missouri? I'm a little bit older, so as the room explodes with laughter, right?
Sorry.
It's all right, Greg. No, listen, Nebraska for years picked who they wanted out of Missouri, and they're getting back into Missouri. But at this point in time right now, where's Nebraska kind of stand pecking order-wise in your hometown?
I feel like Nebraska is up there high, you know, because they recruit pretty hard here, and the players, they love it there because they see the program is going up.
Cameron Brown's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Cameron, tell me about your some of your teammates and who you're close with at Christian Brothers College and your program. Folks have probably heard and read about it, but you've been in it. And what's the experience like for you down there?
The experience is great. You know, the school here is amazing, and I got some really close friends here. The two that Tallawall and Cameron Brown, they're the closest to me. They're like my brothers. I'm close with everyone, a lot of players here on the football team because we all like a family.
And then, you know, one of the guys that's already here at Nebraska from your high school, Trey Bryant, looking to be the starting running back this year here. What's your relationship like with him? Are you guys close? Did he help out with recruiting you to Nebraska?
Yeah, Trey, that's my big brother. You know, we talk every once in a while. When he come here, we link up. When I go up there, we link up, stay with him for a little bit. And he didn't really try to recruit me. He wanted me to do as best as me. That's why I really appreciate him for that. But it just ended up me going to Nebraska.
Did you enjoy the process? Was it stressful? Did you soak it in? How did you sift through it?
At the beginning, I enjoyed it. Then it started getting stressful later on because the coaches you text them every day. They keep telling them, call you every day. You know, it started getting stressful after a while, but you just had to sit back and relax.
So, I mean, how How much was the pressure turned up on you by the programs? I mean, was it just a nonstop barrage of, hey, give me a ring?
Yeah, it was nonstop. You know, I maybe went 2 days without a coach telling me to call them, but nothing longer than that for the whole year.
Well, Cameron Brown is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, wide receiver, 6 foot, 170 pounder down in St. Louis, Christian Brothers College High School. As Cameron, what's the outlook for your team this year? And kind of pump up Missouri high school football. What? How tough is Missouri football?
Missouri football is pretty tough. People don't think that because I believe we're underrated. You know, because a lot of football. Missouri is not really a football state. They think it's more of a basketball. But people in football can compete with everybody else. You know, I just believe that we compete with other states like Florida, Texas, Cali. I feel like we can compete with them.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of talent in multi-sports down there. What kind of turned you on to football? What made you a football guy versus basketball or baseball or something else?
I played all sports when I was younger, but, you know, my dad played football, and I just loved the game. So I just chose football over every sport because, you know, I just feel like it's best for me.
And last thought here, Cameron, tell us a little bit about, you know, your family, your folks, and how – they helped you with this decision?
They didn't help me that much. You know, they wanted me to make my own decision because they feel like I was old enough to make my own decision. But my mom and my dad, they really helped me out, though. Because I forced them to help me out because I didn't want everything to be put on me like that. So they helped me out with a lot of it. If they loved it, I loved it. But, you know, my mom, I really focused on what my mom thought about school because she really dug deep into different schools to see the good, the bad, and everything around it.
So that's what was going on in the picture that you tweeted out earlier to have people caption is your mom was thinking, I know you can go ahead and make the right decision. I trust you to get in with Nebraska.
Sir.
Cameron Brown is with us. Cameron, best of luck to you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes on the show today, and thanks for putting up with a few phone calls from us to connect with this. But this phone you're on right now sounds awesome, my man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron.
Cameron Brown with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Commit to 2018 for Nebraska out of Christian Brothers College High School. And good dude. And we've been trying to get in touch. He's been very gracious with his time. We got a solid, clean connection that time, and it was fun to chat with him, and he's a happy dude, and he does sound pretty relaxed with this. But I can imagine when you got Nebraska, Arkansas, Ohio State, Missouri just all over him, because I mean the kid can ball.
I mean, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Missouri, Nebraska.
There.
Yeah, were the final. Those were the final five.
Final. Yeah.
That's a heck of a final five. You do get that sense of relief when kids get done with that part of the process, and you see why when guys commit a lot of times, and it feels like you hear a lot about decommits, and there was a decommit in this case. In most cases, there are not, and part of that is they just want the process to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's funny because it gives you a little insight there into the little wrinkle into that rule with coach contact, which is coaches can unlimited amount of times they can text you, but they cannot call you. Like, you have to be able to then call them back, a recruit can call them back, so they're always then texting what? Hey, call me. So it's just interesting. I like that he noted his leadership and working on that, because you get that a lot from recruits in this class.
No, and guys may have it in him, but sometimes it needs to be drawn out. Greg Smith is going to stay an extra 5 minutes, and we'll continue on here. Big thanks to Cameron Brown here on Hail Varsity Radio.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at hailvarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Greg Smith is in. We had a good discussion with Cameron Brown. He joined us. Mike Shuhart is in. Shuey is in. And a friend of the show, Gary is joining us. He has a recruiting question for Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. Gary, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
First of all, Chris, I apologize.
No worries, man. I was trying to do a solid and answer the phone. It was good.
That was brutal. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's going on, Gary?
Are you doing just football and basketball, or are you going to do baseball also? Primarily football. Who on Hale Varsity does the baseball thing?
Mr. Babcock, Jacob. We all can kind of do it. They don't let me write because they're smart, but there's a lot of folks. But Babbers does a lot of the baseball.
Yeah, does most of the baseball coverage. Mm-hmm.
I guess I need to send him an email. Never.
We lost Gary.
And it's all done. You know, by the time I look at the roster, I say, oh, okay, well, there's a change. But I just am curious, of course, and you know why, the baseball thing. So, sure. And by the way, for you, Greg Smith, I won tickets this morning. I'll see you guys later.
There we go.
Congrats.
Okay, bye.
I think we are cursed with cell phones today.
I was just thinking that. Like, are we – is this a –
you and me thing?
Yeah. Is that us?
I don't know.
Everywhere we go, we curse the phone lines.
Apparently. We talked with Cameron Brown. That was big. Since you're in studio, I'm excited to talk to you here. And regarding Nebraska here, let's talk profile for a second.
Okay.
I'll keep you for a few more minutes, and then I'll let you get out, and then we can go have ribs or something with that glorious smoker you have that I haven't got to see yet.
Man, you're not salty about that at all.
No, it's I'm just, you know, it's like
we'll get there. I told you. I say 2021?
No, I know. Right. They're going to be marinating a while.
Right.
Let's talk profile here with Nebraska. It's obviously risen here the last couple of years, but let's talk direction of it. Where can Nebraska go profile-wise? Big Ten? And nationally, it's made a splash. Mm-hmm. It's gotten some respect, but this thing keeps sustaining like it looks like it might, not just with 18, but beyond. I mean, how high is the ceiling for Nebraska's recruiting reputation? Obviously, they got to win on the field, but they're putting some skill guys in position and they're working on the line of scrimmage side of things too.
Yeah, there's a couple of factors here that I think will really go a long ways to helping them continue to raise that profile. And you mentioned the big one there and winning more games, but winning more high profile games, right? So since Nebraska recruits coast to coast, they're a national recruiting team. When the kid from Florida or the kid from California is not going to be able to necessarily watch BTN to see the game from week four, right? The random game, mm-hmm. They're going to be able to see the Ohio State game or the Penn State game, the Iowa game the day after Thanksgiving. So in those big showcase games, Nebraska has to show well, as well as winning now double-digit games, getting into the conference championship, which gives you another showcase mm-hmm. game. And then there's another factor here that I think will end up happening, particularly on the offensive side of the football and hopefully on the defensive side as well, is to start putting more guys in the NFL. Right or wrong, every recruit basically thinks that they're going to the NFL. All of the best teams in the country that recruited very high level, your Ohio States, Alabama's, USC, Michigan's of the world, they all put a lot of guys in the NFL and they're able to sell that to kids. So if you're able to actually have that tangible proof at this school and not just the guys that you discovered up at Oregon State, if you're Mike Riley and company, that'll go a long way to help. And I think that they can get to, realistically, Nebraska is a consistent top 15 recruiting team in the nation. That is, they're well on their way to, in theory, winning the West almost every year.
Mm-hmm. So they've won the West in the recruiting war. Mm-hmm. It's time to win the West on the field. And started the show off, you know, what if Nebraska actually has a year where they get some breaks? Mm-hmm. Yes, you got to make your own breaks, make some plays, step up on those spotlight games. But if you get off to a good start, and Babbers and I were talking about this, the Oregon game, another springboard type situation for Nebraska, and sustain that momentum. I mean, I put it in context that, you know, Penn State didn't start well, but man, did they close like a freight train. Right. And it's not a too far off situation from Penn State last year, new quarterback. All right, how's it going to be? You've had changes on staff. They made a scheme change. They went from the Hackenberg 3-5, the 7-step drop, pinata to a zone read, right. You know, spread tempo type deal. Different system, different style, but Nebraska's doing the same thing. I had no clue. I know Franklin and I know O'Brien recruited insanely well, despite all that Penn State went through. I don't think Nebraska's at that level of ranking. Maybe they're not far off from a talent caliber and a comparable standpoint.
I don't think when you look at Penn State, I don't think Nebraska is too terribly far off from them, because Penn State is not in the class of Ohio State, which is Nebraska is a good deal away from them, I would say. But Penn State also, the thing that went well for them is that offensive line at Penn State got a lot better. Now, is that because they were not doing so many 7-step drops with Christian Hackenberg?
And they were bad the year before.
Right. Or was
maybe
that
they
that
hated
the coach
Hackenberg.
Got it together? Right. Yeah. Which and so, and we'll never really know what ended up really helping them in that. But again, and I feel like we always end up coming back to this, but the whole deal with Nebraska's offense to me comes down to how well that offensive line ends up performing, and can they be pretty good? If that offensive line can be pretty good, Tanner Lee will have time to get the ball to the weapons, and those weapons are good enough to be able to put Nebraska in favorable positions on the offensive side.
That is Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Chris Schmidt, Mike Shuhart hanging out, Colton producing. We had a great chance to get it caught up with Cameron Brown to start the hour. A Jock Talk's on the way. Greg, before we let you get out of here, practice tomorrow. You'll be able to watch it. I'll be able to watch it. What are you looking for tomorrow? The offense will talk afterwards, but give me a couple of guys you're keying in on. That, all right, I'm gonna keep my eye on this position group or this player specifically.
Yeah, I think a few of the ones that have been the talk of camp so far, so whether or not you look at that other cornerback spot opposite of Lamar Jackson, and if it's going to be Eric Lee or Boodle or Tony Butler, that cat linebacker position with Alec Davis and Cedric King, and then wanting to see, you know, the whispers that are starting to build a little bit about Pernell Jefferson, a young player in the program, and the impact that he's been able to make, and he's showing flashes. Maybe we get to see him a little bit. I don't know how much we're going to see that defense based on the last time that we were out there and able to see last Thursday as they hid everything they could humanly hide out there about defense. And then on the offensive side of the football, look, keying in on that offensive line, because until we can't get to those running backs and starting to look at them, who a lot of people want to hear about, but until we can see some actually full-fledged hitting out there with the offensive line and some trench warfare out there, we don't know what's going on with the running back.
No, the O-line, the D-line's where you win it in the Big Ten. Greg, what are you working on with HailVarsity.com? What's coming up?
We'll have some more recruit interviews that we'll have posting up. I'll keep those in the bag a little bit and drop those on.
Keeping busy.
Yeah, I'm keeping busy with those. And I'll continue my recruiting recon series that we've had going, kind of getting everybody caught up as we head into the season of what's been going on position by position with the different recruits and what to look forward to with those guys.
Okay. So I can anticipate Greg's guys. Another Greg's Guys column coming out.
There'll be another Greg's Guys coming out here shortly as well. I have not done an August one yet. I can hear Brandon Vogel, our editor, coming through you right now to say, get that done, please.
No, I like that. Speaking of Vogues, Greg, thanks for coming in, and you're welcome to hang out the last 5 minutes here if you want. But I really enjoyed Vogues' write-up on big plays. We had a chance to discuss that a little bit, but you have scheme versus skill. And the write-up on the end result being big play, it's awesome. And what he did is he labeled different parts of the offense and the situation. Like the neutral down is your first down. You can run or pass, right? Your roll of the dice is, from a category standpoint, is second and five to third and five. And it gets further down where the fourth and, you know, good luck and God bless. That's not what it was called, but specifically, it went through every scenario, and it came down to how many big plays are you getting, what's your percentage of that, and defensively, how many big plays are you preventing, and are you giving up? And he went through scheme versus skill. An exploration of big plays. Vogues went through and looked at this, looked at numbers, and some of the numbers out of this, when it comes to the mystery of explosive plays, from 2011 to 2016 when you had an explosive play during that offensive possession. You got points as an offense 74% of the time in college football. Nebraska, from 11 to 16, better. Almost 78% of the time. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Nebraska football 2011 to 2016, I think of Taylor Martinez rolling about 80 yards. I think of Kenny Bell going big time. I think of Quincy Enunwa. I think of Amir Abdul. You had some explosive athletes to give you some explosive plays. The national average, 72%. And Diakos emphasized it. Knock out those big plays defensively. That is your goal. As an offense, you need a big play. It'll result between 3 and 7 points. So what I'm asking you to do is check this out from Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com, when it comes to explosive plays and the Mike Riley era when it comes to explosive plays gained. He is better than most when the situation looks its bleakest. It's that, and that bleak situation, that bleak situation of football is 3rd and 6 passing down or all 4th downs, and that is titled Thoughts and Prayers. And explosive play percentage for Nebraska was 9%. So they would succeed a 3rd and long or 4th and whatever 33% of the time. Nebraska did this. And of those 33% success rate, 9% was an explosive play. It went for 20 yards or more. And we just told you, if you hit an explosive play on a drive, 78% of the time, it's going to lead to points. So we're talking about the old blindfold and cigarette, and you get points out of it. Great article, great write-up. And that key cog of an offense or an Achilles heel to a defense, explosive plays. The Jock Doc's next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert is with us. Dr. Brandon, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Chris. How are you doing?
Doing well. Getting closer to football season. And we were talking about a Jets receiver couple, 3 or 4 Jock Docs ago, the Ohio State guy with his knee, and we were talking about Quincy Enunwa, how well he's played for New York. Well, it's another Jock Doc Wednesday, Dr. Brandon, and tough news for Quincy Enunwa. Let's talk herniated disc in his neck. Quincy will likely miss the year. Let's spend a couple minutes on a guy who really played well for Nebraska and was doing well in the pros.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he really hasn't done great in the pros, and obviously they've had some quarterback turmoil up there that probably hasn't helped him any to be successful. But a tough break for him nonetheless. It sounds like this is kind of an exacerbation of an injury he had previously. Definitely something that they had talked about in the article of having some issues before, saying a similar type of problem. But essentially what they're describing this as is a herniated disc in his cervical spine. You know, fortunately, an uncommon injury in football, at least acutely. There's probably a lot of folks that have cervical spine, you know, arthritis and issues post, you know, football days. But to really have one as an active athlete is actually pretty rare, fortunately. Looks like a pretty long recovery for him. Obviously, this is something that I don't typically do surgery on, but do know quite a bit about these things, as we do occasionally see some of our athletes show up in the office with these.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the injury itself. And I know you said you don't typically mess with it, but that said, what is Enunwa facing when it comes to the procedure, at least from your familiarity to it?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So you can look at these a couple of ways. Obviously, a non-operative versus operative route. It sounds like initially they kind of took that non-operative route, which is a pretty common thing to do. We typically tend to be very conservative in terms of spine surgery with any type of pathology, unless it's trauma and there's nerve compromise. But usually in these situations, you can get away with some rehab for a while. If it's a small disc herniation, oftentimes those will either kind of resolve or resorb on their own, even if they don't completely go away. Most of the time, it doesn't impact the nerve kind of long term. But what you worry about is as that disc can get bigger, maybe you have a recurrence of the symptoms from the disc, it starts to get close to irritating a nerve. And then you get to a point where if it's irritating the nerve enough, you can get some numbness and tingling, you know, into your fingers, upper extremities. You can actually develop some clumsiness if it's in your fingers and your dexterity, if it's a, you know, big enough disc and it's actually impacting the spinal cord. Not hearing, you know, what exactly his symptoms were, but I'm guessing they're probably on the order of at least having some numbness and tingling and weakness for sure if they're thinking that surgery route. And so as you look at that, you know, what would that involve? Most of the time with an acute disc issue like he's having, it's one of those you typically can go in and just trim up the disc and let things be after you do that. However, if it's, you know, more extensive, if the disc is quite large that they have to excise, then you start to worry about some instability in that area, and then you have to talk about maybe even doing like a fusion type of procedure where you infuse two of the vertebral bodies together. Again, they didn't say that specifically in the article. I'm thinking they're probably more along the lines of kind of trimming up the disc would be what they're probably thinking. And then it begs the question, you know, how long are you going to be out, and what does this look like, you know, for your career going forward?
Let's spend a few minutes on that career going forward. If they go non-operative with this, but it is 6 to 9 months, what are some of the steps in healing procedures the medical staff and Anunua can take together to get back? And two, when it comes to this happening again, is it likely to happen again, the next hit he takes, the next jarring shot he takes, is it something that he can avoid, or is it something that's likely recurring?
Yeah, you know, great question. From a recurrence standpoint, you know, I think the latest literature on these, especially in like the lumbar spine, I think they say there's about if you go in and have surgery, I think there's about a 15 to 20% recurrence risk. Cervical spine, I think it's a little bit less, you know, maybe that 10 to 15% range. That would be in your normal population. I have not seen specifically any good studies on our athletes, especially, you know, high-level contact sport folks like you know, hockey, football, wrestling types, what that number would be. I would venture to guess it might be higher. Again, when you think about the contact those individuals are going through, especially football and blocking, and obviously we don't like people lowering their head when they're doing things, but in the NFL you see that a lot. So I would think that recurrence risk would be fairly high for him. You know, it might be on the order of maybe 15-20%. I couldn't give you a solid number, but it is something I would definitely be worried about. Question is, you know, is it high enough that he wouldn't want to take the risk? And that'll be something I'll have to discuss with his, you know, surgeons and his athletic trainers. But I would venture to say he would get back to playing, knowing that that risk does exist. The issue would be, you know, if he had surgery versus non-operatively, what would be the recurrence risk? I think it's a little bit higher on the non-operative side for a recurrent issue as opposed to the surgery side.
Dr. Brandon Seifert is with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking herniated disc in the neck, Quincy Anunua for the Jets, former Husker, and he is dealing with that, going to miss the season. And with the neck issue, is this something similar to Peyton Manning is one of my questions, or is this completely different?
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's fairly similar. I think Peyton's was a bit more extensive. I think they actually had where the, if I remember correctly for him, where his nerve traveled, the kind of the canal that it was in, I think he actually had some bony impingement in the area, and they had to actually widen that. It was called a foraminotomy, I think is what he had. And so I probably a little bit more extensive. I could be wrong in that aspect, but I thought that's what it, his was, in addition to the disc issue. And in fact, I think he may have actually had a fusion procedure too. So Peyton's is probably a bit more extensive, but Peyton's is kind of what you think about when you think about, you know, these NFL guys kind of long-term and all the contact that they take. You kind of get yourself in that spot. The other trouble you think about with a guy like Peyton is he's a throwing athlete. You introduce a lot of weakness to that upper extremity with throwing, and that's obviously a big problem. Whereas you take somebody like Anunua who's not throwing, he just needs to get up in a good position to, you know, catch the ball. May not impact him as much, even if he does develop some kind of residual symptoms in terms of the numbness, tingling, and weakness.
Disc issues, when it comes to neck problems, how big a percentage is it in, I mean, just a guess, in contact sports, take them across the board?
Yeah, I think it's pretty low. You know, okay. I'd even take my own experience with that and seeing our athletes. You know, fortunately, I look across, let's even just take the last 6 years. I can think of two folks that had real disc issues, not cervical. They were lumbar spine issues. They were two of our football kids I can think of. So very low. You know, I bet that number is probably less than 5% of contact athletes, football in particular, have, cervical spine or even lumbar spine disc pathology. It's just not a common thing in that age group, fortunately, because it can be quite debilitating depending on the size of the disc injury you have.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a jock doc Wednesday. We're talking Quincy Enunwa and that herniated disc in his neck. And best thoughts moving forward for Quincy. Dr. Brandon, we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Absolutely. Take care, Chris.
Sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time on a Wednesday. Big thanks to Cameron Brown, Mike Babcock, Mike Schuhart, and Greg Smith for joining us today. And we'll have a transcription of the Cam Brown interview and also the interview up, the podcast up, HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app, as Colton will get that put together. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. The numbers to dial in if you like. And I want to remind you about something that you shouldn't do, and I hope you don't do, and that's drunk driving. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. And when it comes to that night out, maybe it's a concert like Monday down at PBA, or you're just out and about on the weekend, if you plan to drink, make sure you have a ride home. If not, plan anyway. If your plans change, you don't want to get a DUI. It can cost you up to $12,000 in fines and legal fees, jail time, and that interlock device will be part of your vehicle. So make plans. Make sure you have a sober ride home. If and when you go out, remember you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Tomorrow, we are loaded up. That was kind of a bad transition. Didn't mean it that way. Tomorrow we are just locked in with Joe Tessitore. He is going to be at PBA for the fight with Bud Crawford. Obviously, can't wait for that event. It's going to be big time. And Joe Tess will join us tomorrow. Also get a thought or two from him on college football, because he is the voice of college football with ESPN. Gary Barnett. Old Barney. It's been a while. You got to get caught up with Barney. So Gary Barnett will join us. I think there's going to be a Jay Moore sighting tomorrow. Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. So that is great. If you're in Lincoln, on FM 101.5 and 1480 AM, stay tuned. The Beer Show is coming up with Nick Gregeth. If you're in some of our other affiliates, enjoy a great night tonight and spend time with family and friends for sure. And that was just fun. The chase that we endured to get Cam Brown today is that of legend and perseverance. In all seriousness, a great chat with the really good young man, and it was fun to hear his story about Nebraska. Hear the story about Pure Grown Diamonds in Sauter Hayman with Rick and your friends there. Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. When I say Pure Grown Diamonds, when I tell you about Pure Grown Diamonds, they're 100% real diamonds, but they're grown in a lab, and that means they're extremely beautiful, they're sustainable, and they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mined diamonds. And you can get them only at Sauter Hayman, your exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds. Maybe a birthday or anniversary is coming up. Maybe it's time to get married. whatever the case may be, Sauter Heyman has the selection you want. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point, Pavilion Lincoln. Or you can head west and see your friends in Grand Island at Sauter Heyman. Log on today, see Rick and your friends, SauterHeyman.com. Big thanks to Colton for making it rock today. And Joe Tessitore tomorrow, Gary Barnett tomorrow. Find us at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.